You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Thursday, July 24th. On Tuesday, at approximately 5 p.m., a small aircraft experienced a sudden power loss and made an emergency landing outside the boundary of the Astoria Regional Airport during an approach to runway 26. The aircraft, a Beechcraft Bonanza, landed in a nearby field with both occupants evaluated on-site by Life Flight personnel. No significant injuries were reported. The Port of Astoria, along with personnel from the U.S. Coast Guard and Warrenton Fire Department, responded promptly to the scene. Responders confirmed there were no fuel or fluid leaks, no fire, and no damage to surrounding infrastructure. Port staff are currently developing a plan for the safe retrieval of the aircraft. Police are still looking for a man that fled a two-vehicle hit-and-run fatal crash in Tillamook County earlier this month. On Sunday, July 12th, at about 3:15 a.m., Oregon State Police responded to the scene on Highway 18 near Grand Ronde. Investigators say a white Honda Civic operated by 34-year-old Alejandro Christopher Velasquez Lopez of Tillamook was traveling eastbound on Highway 18 near milepost 14. Lopez entered the eastbound shoulder and struck three 17-year-old males who were outside a Nissan Altima changing a tire. The Honda did not stop and continued driving eastbound. All three male juveniles were transported to area hospitals with serious injuries. One of the victims died as a result of injuries 2 days later. A 17-year-old female passenger was inside the Nissan at the time of the crash and was not injured. There is still an active warrant for Lopez's arrest. Ballots for the 2026 primary election won't go to mailboxes until nearly a year from now, but U.S. Representative Marie Glusenkamp-Perez has already been working to raise campaign funds for what is again likely to be one of the most hotly contested races in the country. According to a recent report filed with the Federal Election Commission, the campaign for Glusenkamp-Perez has raised over $1.5 million so far in 2025, and just over $900,000 of total funds raised this year have come directly from individual donors. Two other candidates, Republican Anthony Baran and Democrat Brent Henrich, have officially declared their candidacies for Washington's 3rd Congressional District. Both campaigns reported light donations in their most recent filings. But other challengers may soon be announcing runs of their own. But most likely not Joe Kent, who twice ran for the seat and twice lost in the general election to Glusenkamp-Perez. Kent was appointed by President Trump earlier this year to be director of the National Counterterrorism Center, but has still yet to be confirmed. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer. Read more online at chinookobserver.com. A new school year is coming up quick. As Jefferson Public Radio's Jane Vaughn reports, some districts say their financial situation is shaky in the face of federal cuts.
The Trump administration is withholding federal education grants for schools across the country while reviewing funding sources for the upcoming school year. The administration has proposed deeper cuts for next year. For school districts that are already facing declining enrollment and what they call inadequate state support, they're in a tenuous situation. Greg Bowen is the assistant superintendent of business at Del Norte Unified School District. Their budget for the upcoming school year has a deficit of over $4 million.
We got to plan for the future. We got to look at that very carefully and get creative to find possible different funding sources or reductions in force.
He thinks next year's budget will be especially difficult because of the impacts from Trump's tariffs and the increasing costs of operations. All of these cuts, he says, trickle down to affect students. I'm Jane Vaughn reporting.
Oregon Governor Tina Kotek is calling state lawmakers back to Salem for a special legislative session at the end of August. Lauren Dake reports.
The governor says she wants lawmakers back at the Capitol to find money that would shore up basic road maintenance and operations at the Oregon Department of Transportation. State lawmakers were unable to agree on a transportation package during the 2025 legislative session, which ended in June. The governor says she's been working since then to come up with millions of dollars needed to stop layoffs at the agency. Without that money, ODOT workers have said the state could lose essential brush clearing during wildfire season and snow plowing in the winter, among other needs. COTEC says ODOT had initiated nearly 500 of an estimated 600 to 700 total layoffs due to the budget issues, but the governor has directed the agency to delay layoffs, hoping lawmakers can stabilize the budget. I'm Lauren Dake reporting.
The Trump administration wants Oregon to hand over personal information about people receiving food stamps by as soon as today. Alejandro Figueroa reports.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture wants the names, addresses, and birthdays of people enrolled in SNAP. That's the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. USDA officials say they're collecting the data to reduce fraud and government waste, but some anti-hunger groups and Democratic officials worry the federal government could turn over the information to law enforcement. Alex Agdai is with the nonprofit Partners for a Hunger-Free Oregon.
There's no reason why the federal government needs to know your home address or your Social Security number to know whether or not you can access SNAP or you should be on the program. That's not pertinent information, and it doesn't need to be personally identifiable. That's what makes this so egregious.
Over 700,000 people receive SNAP benefits in Oregon. Alejandro Figueroa reporting.
Another cultural event in the Seattle area has been canceled due to concerns over heightened immigration enforcement actions. KNKX arts and culture reporter Freddy Monares has the story.
The Pacific Northwest Folklorico Festival began in Berrien in 2022 and highlights the traditional dance art form deeply rooted in Mexican history. It won't happen this year due to concerns over ICE raids. Luna Garcia is the director of the nonprofit that puts on the event. She says it's a joyful celebration of Mexican culture.
And so not holding the festival felt like a betrayal of that, I think. But the cons, you know, about everyone's safety, that was the big thing, was like, yes, but can we really justify putting people in danger?
The nonprofit had considered moving forward with the event and allowing dancers to opt out of performances, but Garcia says there were concerns that parents would put their own safety at risk so that their children could dance. In June, the Duwamish River Festival was canceled for similar reasons. Also last month in Central Oregon, Latino Fest, Juneteenth, and Latinx Fiesta Celebración separately announced that those events would not happen due to safety concerns. In Seattle, I'm Freddy Monares.
Severe drought is hitting most of Washington. Almost the entire state is experiencing at least moderate drought, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. KUOW's John Ryan reports.
I'm standing on a rock, a small boulder, just big enough to stand on, in the South Fork Skykomish River. The river is low enough that there are lots of little boulders like this poking up everywhere I look. After the driest June in 85 years and not much rain in July either, streams and rivers in Washington are unusually low.
Many rivers from the Columbia to the Ho are flowing at about half their usual volumes for July. That's bad for salmon, farmers, and electricity users. Warmer and drier than normal conditions are expected through September statewide. Pollution-fueled climate change is bringing hotter summers and less snowy winters to the Northwest. I'm John Ryan reporting.
You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@KMUN.org. That's news, the numeral 1, @KMUN.org.